This is On the Ground IPSY on 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station. I'm Patrick Campion, along with the embedded journalist, Sarah Rigg. She's here from Concentrate Media. We are very happy to be the media partner on this project because, well, I'll let you tell it, Sarah. What's the importance of this project in Ypsilanti? Oh, hello, by the way.
Hi. So we do on-the-ground projects all over the United States, and this one focuses on Ypsilanti, and the purpose is to dig down and do some of the stories that aren't being covered in other outlets.
And Sarah's relatively new to this particular gig. Our friend Brianna has moved on to bigger cities and larger stories, but we're still right here in the community talking about great things happening in Ypsilanti, and so happy to have you here with us, Sarah. I know
Thanks.
You've been a part of this community for a long time, so you've definitely had your ear to the ground. Now you got your feet to the ground, and what were you out taking a look at this week for On the Ground IPSY?
Well, I did a story that was sort of a roundup about new businesses coming into downtown Ypsilanti and two of them taking over spaces that had been vacant for a really long time.
Oh, those are always good ones because people are, what's going in there? When's it going to be new? Who's taking the parking spots in downtown? You know, those kinds of things. So great interest there. And just a reminder, this is what we're doing here, just a companion to the great work that Sarah and the other folks do at Concentrate Media, which you can find at concentratemedia.com and then a whole slew of other places through social media and whatnot. But we'll just link them all over at WEMU.org rather than reading you a giant grocery list of things. And as always, Sarah, you all encourage people to get in touch with you through that means so that they can let you know what they'd like you to be reporting on, what's important to our community.
Absolutely. My email address is on the end of every story, and people can email me with ideas at any time.
So you mentioned reusing older buildings that have been vacant for a long time. I know that is the focus of about half your piece this week, which, again, you can see at concentratemedia.com, and you've brought a guest with you from that organization. Tell us a little bit about Anne and why she's here today.
So Michigan Advocacy Program took over a building in downtown Ypsilanti that had been vacant for nearly 30 years, and we have co-director Ann Rout with us today.
Hi, Ann. Welcome.
Hi.
And so tell me first, Ann, this map, I know that it's not always been called that, so what is something, I think we know it as Southeast Michigan Legal Services, which is under the map umbrella, but that was the more colloquial name in this area for what you guys
sure.
do there.
Sure, people know us as Legal Services. Okay. Sometimes you'll hear us referred to as Legal Aid.
So tell us what you do.
Sure, what we do is we provide access to the justice system for low-income and other marginalized populations. We provide individual representation, and then we also work on impact or other major issues to identify systemic problems that prevent people from accessing justice.
Right. So people that don't have money to hire a lawyer can come to you to get the help that they need to make their way through what is a very complicated system, especially if you don't have guidance.
That's right.
And you've not always been in Ypsilanti. Obviously, this is a new move to town. You were in Ann Arbor before?
We were in Ann Arbor in the building we moved from for nearly 40 years.
Okay. And so what prompted the move to this side of town?
Well, for some time, we had been looking about our building in Ann Arbor, which was small. We kept chopping it up into smaller offices and knew we needed more space. But we also knew that our client population was more focused on the eastern side of the county, and it's important to us that we be accessible and easily identified and connected with our community. So the idea of having an opportunity to sell our building there and move here, it all just came together at the perfect time.
And we do talk a lot about on WEMU the cultural dichotomy that exists essentially on this invisible barrier of 23, the east side of 23, the west side of 23. And obviously we all understand that the affluence on the east side of 23 is lesser than on the west side of 23. Quite simply put, people in Ypsilanti and in the east side of Washtenaw County need your services more frequently based on population size than they would in Ann Arbor. So you wanted to be at hand.
That's
I just
right.
used a lot of really complex words to restate what you said, but
yep.
you know, that's sometimes my job, but bear with me. So you've made the decision. How long ago did you decide to, hey, let's look over in Ypsi, or did you find the building first and then figure your way over here?
No, it was a long process. We were surprised how long it took us to find the right fit for us. First, we thought we did hope to buy a building because it turned out that buying that building in Ann Arbor at the time we did was an amazing investment. We got it for a heartbeat, you know, just a real low price. And then
so you're saying that investing in realty in Ann Arbor was a great idea.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah.
So that was giving us an opportunity. We were having realtors come by our building in Ann Arbor and saying, we can sell this thing for you. So we knew we needed space, and we started looking, and we're a large organization. We've been growing quite a bit. When I started with the organization, we only served four counties for the whole program, and we had a budget of like 400,000, maybe 16 employees around there. Now we cover 13 counties. We administer a bunch of statewide programs. We'll have 40-plus employees in this building here in Ypsilanti by the time we get everybody in.
So how did this building, and into what building are you in, how did this pop onto your radar?
We were working with Rob Aldrich and some other folks at MAV Development.
Okay.
They knew that we were looking for space, and they've worked with other nonprofits, and they know us through those efforts. So they were really helpful, and they and some of our other partners in this whole project did a large amount of their work for us pro bono. But they spent time with us. We were looking at rentals. We looked at other purchases. Everything was either way too big or too small for us. And then finally Someone said that this was back on the market. And
so you ended up, it's the Smith Furniture Building,
that's
right?
That's right.
And,
yes.
And I'm assuming when you initially looked at it, since it's been sitting empty for three decades, that it wasn't exactly hip hop hooray, we're going to move right in tomorrow.
No, and I think some of our board members thought maybe we're a little crazy because people immediately started pulling up all these articles about the roof caving in, the mold, the water, and like, we really do want to take this on.
So did the listing say fixer uppers need apply?
I think so.
Well, that's good. That gives you an opportunity, I think, though, to create a space unique to your needs and with a vision of moving forward with the continued growth, hopefully, as a goal.
That's right.
How did you make that place your own?
Well, it turns out that the partners who had bought it before us, they actually had done a lot of the purging. They put a new roof on and they had cleaned out all this stuff.
So not as bad as everybody feared.
It was not as bad as when we looked at it. So when we looked at it, it basically was a shell. It had good bones. We worked with O'Neill Construction. They came in and they said, yeah, we can make this work. And so then we got Cornerstone Design. David Esau, an architect who works with a lot of organizations serving persons with disabilities. It was important to us that it be a very accessible building, and he did the design for us. And we had to house a lot of people in law offices, so it had to be closed offices for confidentiality. But he found a way to bring light into that building and create a really beautiful space that's welcoming for our clients.
That was what I was going to ask. You know, designing a building today versus 40 years ago and use of space, vastly different, vastly different considerations. A lot of things that we as a society value are different now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much fundamentally did that change where you were looking for a building or how? Or you've mentioned some of the design elements, but what are other things that were considered as you moved into this new space?
Well, certainly it was like, do we want to share with other organizations? Do we want to share only with nonprofits? So we wanted it to be a building that fit us, our vision, our mission of serving clients, and so that they would be comfortable coming into the building. So there is still a suite that's vacant for development, and we do hope to eventually get another nonprofit in there with us.
So does looking at a new building for an organization like yours maybe alter some of that vision moving forward? I mean, looking at other ways you could serve the community besides direct legal services?
Well, we stick to our mission of legal services. We are a high-quality law office, and there is no one else providing that services to low-income and marginalized communities. And so we stick to that. But we partner with a lot of community organizations, and that's one of the best parts about being here in Ypsilanti is that we do have a lot of partners here, and everyone's been so welcoming. And you know, as the co-director, I just see so many great opportunities for the greater community and for us as an organization and other organizations with this partnership here.
And you've moved in now fully, or you're operating day-to-day out of the building?
Yes, we are.
And have you seen that? You've mentioned a couple things there, but what direct results have you already seen? Is this fundamentally changing your footprint in the community?
Oh, we're just getting started. We moved in the end of July, I worked out of the Ann Arbor office for over 30 years. I'm learning about organizations I never knew existed. Granted, I moved into administration, so I haven't been doing day-to-day casework. But, Growing Hope across the street, I mean, what an amazing organization. I can see lots of opportunities there for partnership. The folks at the library were so excited. You know, they see people trying to do our self-help program, Michigan Legal Help, but they also know now that if people run into hurdles there, we're just down the street, they can send folks to us.
It sounds like you're discovering some of the things that we talk about every week here on the Ground Ipsy, which there are a lot of organizations in Ypsilanti and the township and Eastern Washtenaw County devoted at a small level individually to just rising the entire community together. And you're now looking at playing a more direct part in that.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit again about the organization, how people can get in touch with you, if they need your help, you know, how people can reach out.
So it's the Michigan Advocacy Program. Okay. So the local office is still goes by the name of Legal Services of South Central Michigan. If individuals are low income, and I need to start out by saying that we're not funded at a level to represent everyone who needs our services. It's estimated that we can meet about 20%.
I mean, just the jump in, where does that funding come from? How are you funded?
A large part of it is federal funding. Okay. We get funding from about 50 different funding sources for all of our various services. So there's federal funding through the Legal Services Corporation. We get state funding from filing fees and interest on lawyers' trust accounts. Washtenaw County, the City of Ann Arbor, Washtenaw United Way, the Consolidated Funding Group, they're very supportive of our efforts. And so we get the similar funding in a lot of the other communities that we serve as well.
And if somebody wanted to find you or to figure out if they can access your services, how do they reach out to you?
It's best if they call first because they'll screen. We always have to watch out for conflicts. But if they call 665-6181, that will get them to our main office, and our receptionists or legal assistants will, you know, either they perform an amazing triage there, and they help people. If we can't do an intake and provide further services, there's also Michigan Legal Help, which is a self-help guided legal services that will produce forms that you can file in court. So there's a lot of other services that they can connect you to.
Well, welcome to our side of 23, the Ypsilanti side. And just out of curiosity, how many people do you help in a given year?
So program-wide, over 10,000. Washtenaw County, between the office in Ann Arbor and the Family Law Project, they closed over 1,400 cases. So that means, you know, there's that many more cases that were still open. And those are the cases that are for victims of domestic violence and their families. Those were people facing foreclosure. Those were older adults who were being subjected to financial exploitation. So we really have to prioritize on those neediest cases. We've had some recent cases where we've been working with large housing providers to make sure that the rules are applied equally across all tenants. So there's individual representation, but we also do some of these bigger projects as well.
And I'm assuming you take phone calls from people that don't even know whether they need help or not. They just know they're in a situation and might be facing some legal issues. So, you know, just reaching out.
That's right. And we can refer people to a lot of good resources as well.
Well, Ann, thanks for the work you do. And thanks so much for the work that MAP does in our community. And I'm hoping that being in the community directly leads more people your way.
Yeah, certainly. We're very excited to be here. I moved here personally just recently,
good.
I'm just loving the community. So
welcome.
Appreciate that.
Sarah, thanks so much for covering this week. Tell me about some of the other businesses that you saw out there walking around looking at new businesses.
So we have a new massage business called Coco Healing Collective, and that's on Washington as well, and Unicorn Feed and Supply on Michigan Ave. And then, of course, everybody's really excited about Decode Ipsy finally opening up. They're the escape room business on Washington. And they had originally planned to open in mid-October, but now they're shooting for the beginning of November instead.
Did they lock you in a room when you went to see them?
They weren't quite finished. Ah. They're on the way there, but I did get to, you know, kind of see behind the scenes and get the walkthrough. One of the things that I think is really neat at the Ipsy location, as opposed to the one they have in Pittsfield Township, is they have a mini game that only takes about 20 minutes to play. So if you're not sure you're going to like an escape room, or you're there and you came there spontaneously just to check it out, you don't have to do the full, you know, hour, 2 hour escape room experience. You can just do their mini game.
And if you can't get out, maybe a quick call over to Ann and her people to help you find your way out of trouble,
right,
out of Decode Ipsy. Sarah, thanks so much. Tell me about what you got going on for next week.
So next week, I'm going to be doing a story about a project that was done by an EMU senior named Honore Washington. She collected basically a guidebook called The Black Book that is resources for students of color on EMU to find their way around campus and also the Ypsilanti community because, you know, starting college can be intimidating for everybody. And this is a chance to help those students sort of acclimate.
Yeah, and I know that one of the points of pride for Eastern is that we have one of the largest minority populations of any student base in the state, which is great to look around and see that much diverse of a student population because we all know diversity leads to greater understanding of those around us. So resources for those students, very important, and we'll talk about that next week. You're going to bring her in to chat up the project.
That's the plan.
Awesome. We will look forward to seeing that work from you at concentratemedia.com, and we'll talk about it right here on the Ground Ipsy on 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.